What's up, everybody? All right. That was pretty pathetic, but I'll give you a pass. It's Labor Day weekend. You don't want to work too hard. I understand. Hey, so anyway, we're going to start off the message this morning with a little time. We do this little thing we started a few months ago called Volunteer of the Month. So I've brought up my lovely assistant, Kristen, to help me with this. We have the Volunteer of the Month for this month. Could be the Volunteer of the Month every single month. Like, every time we talk about it, we're like, well, we could just give it to this guy. Because every single month, he works, he serves, he has a great heart, great attitude. So without further ado, we've made this little trophy for our man, John Silos. Come on down, John. Come on, come on. And everybody has little John popsicle sticks that they made. This is pretty much John's default state. Like, he's running and hustling and working and serving all of the time. There's your trophy. Yeah. I'm serious, man. Every single Sunday, John gets here before everybody and is out. I don't know if he just has like this, he's indefatigable, which means he doesn't get tired. That's not that he's fat. People always mistake that. And so he serves, he loves to serve, and he does it with such a fantastic attitude. So, John, we appreciate you, sir. Thank you for all that you do. So, that's important. That's fun stuff. I want to make one quick announcement before. I know Daniel had, I feel bad for Daniel. We put so much information on him this morning to communicate, but he always does such a great job, right? Y'all give it up for Dan the man. I have one quick announcement. In 3 weeks, is today, what's today? September 6th, right? All right, on the 27th, 3 weeks from today, is our 4-year anniversary / birthday party. And so if you're kind of new to Motion, let me just kind of give you, we go nuts for a few things. We go nuts for Easter because Jesus, rose from the dead. That's a big deal, right? We go nuts for baptisms, love baptisms. We love to celebrate new life and the whole, all the symbolism that baptism is. And then we also go nuts for our birthday party because 50% of churches don't make it past their second anniversary. And we made the cut, right? So we're like, yeah, we can do this. So it's our fourth anniversary, and just so you guys know, it's going to be kind of sports themed again, like it was last year, just because we love sports. And I didn't even pick that; the girls picked it. So I'm just like, "Oh God, I love you, woman." It's my wife. That's my wife, by the way. Just got to clarify. And so, since it's our fourth anniversary, it's our fourth birthday party, and it's sports themed. I was just thinking about just to kind of give you guys a little foretaste. Anytime you go to a football game and the third period ends, you hear the buzzer goes off. I don't know if you know this or if you played football, you know this. You watch the teams and this is what they do. They hold up. It's the fourth quarter, which means it's gut check. It's game time. Like, you got to see what you really got, what you're really made of when it's the fourth quarter. So that's kind of a little insight as to what it is we're going to be talking about on our birthday party. 3 weeks. I know I gave you a long time to think about it and chew on it. This morning, we're continuing our series called Influence. And I'm an idiot for talking about this stuff. Anytime, how many of you know you never ask God for patience, right? Because he's going to give you opportunities to see whether or not you have patience. He's going to give you tests and things that you have to go through to see what kind of patience you've got and show you what it is that you have to work on. And so this morning, I decided how smart it would be to talk about influence through increase and how God needs to increase in our life and we need to decrease. And I just had the crappiest morning in life. And so I want to apologize to all of our volunteers because I told Monday, I was like, Monday, I'm sorry, I'm just really short this morning, snarky, and I've got a bad attitude. And it's because I try to preach stuff like this that, right? Don't pray for patience because, yeah, you get the idea. So the point is, I don't have all of this stuff figured out. This is stuff that I'm learning and growing in and going through, and it's stuff that we can work through together as a church and as a family. So if you've got this figured out, I will gladly turn the mic over to you and sit down and learn from you. But until then, we're just going to work through this stuff together. We kicked off the series last week, and we talked about how influence is leadership and how we each have a responsibility. Every single one of us, regardless of your vocation, your calling, your career, where you're at in your life, every one of us have a responsibility to lead other people, to influence other people, because really that's all we have to offer. You can't make people, unfortunately, do other things or do things, right? Like, we talked about how we should probably change the mission of Motion from Motion exists to lead people to live and move and have their being to Motion exists to make people live and move and have their being, right? Now, that would be fun. That we would have too much fun with that. But that's not it. Like, that's not the way that God doesn't force us to do anything. He leads us. He influences us. God, I've always heard it said of the Holy Spirit that he's like a gentleman. He kind of like woos us and tries to lead us to do the right things and follow the path that we're supposed to follow. And that's all we really have to offer to anybody else is influence. And so we talked about how important that is. And so for the next couple of weeks, including today, we're going to talk about how to increase our capacity or our ability to influence. And we're going to talk about, it's funny because we're talking about how to increase our capacity through increase. It seems repetitive and redundant, right? But it's not, because it's a different kind of increase. And it all starts in John chapter 3, verse 30. And it's John the Baptist talking about his relationship with God and kind of talking specifically about Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's kind of where we're going to spend, that's the foundation of what we're going to talk about today. As followers of Jesus, our understanding of increase, it parallels with so many other aspects of life. It's like you got to understand the first things first. You got to get the foundation right, or the building is going to be all whoppy-jawed, like the Tower of Pisa, right? We talked about that in our teen group. You guys remember that? Castles-ish. Yeah, okay. Man, they actually do listen. If you have teenagers, you know what I mean. And so you got to get the foundational stuff right. And so for us, the foundation is we have to understand, we got to have this basic understanding that everything that we do, everything that we accomplish, everything that we have, every gift that we have, every talent we have, all of that comes from God, right? And so once we get that down and we kind of understand that, it helps us to understand influence, because influence ultimately comes from God. Our ability to influence other people ultimately comes from God. And it talks about, I love the way it talks about how we're co-laborers with God. Like, isn't it ironic? Like, God could have, I mean, he's God, he's in control, he's all powerful. He could have made it so that he can make people do what he wants them to do. But he didn't choose to do it like that. He chose to lead people, and he chose to use us to lead people as well. He chose to set up and establish this thing called the church to help influence other people. And we are the church that help influence other people. There's this idea that we're co-workers. How would you like for God to be your co-worker, right? Well, you are, and he is. And so God is our co-worker in this process of leading and influencing other people. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And I thought it was just, it kind of paints the picture. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's kind of explaining this, because a lot of them were trying to bickering. They were bickering, well, like, Paul's the one that influenced me, and another guy named Apollos is the one that influenced me. And there was kind of this discussion or conversation about, you know, who's more influential and who's more important. And Paul's like, just forget all of that. Remember this. And this is what he said. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Like, look, I was influential in your life, and Apollo was obviously influential in your life, but ultimately, God is the one that is in control, and he's the one who gives the increase and the influence in our lives. And so I think kind of understanding that as the foundation is huge for influence. Ultimately, our ability to influence other people comes from God. Every talent that you have that could be used to influence other people comes from God, right? Any wisdom or intelligence that you might have, or in my case, might not have, comes from God, right? Like, that's where it all starts. And then you can kind of understand John 3:30 better. He must increase and I must decrease. And it's really cool thinking about capacity. What is it? It's a 16. I don't drink enough water, so I couldn't even tell you how many ounces this is. 16.9, not just 16. Six Laterno kids, man. So this is the capacity of the bottle of water. It's 16.9 ounces. You can't add to it or take away. I mean, you could take away from it, but that's still ultimately the capacity of the bottle, right? And so what we think about, the way we have to make sense of this, is that ultimately we need to increase the amount of God in this bottle, which is strange to think about, that we're putting God in a bottle. I think it's weird. So let's just kind of keep that in mind with the understanding of capacity. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so this isn't limited to influence, but it certainly does apply to influence. Like, God increasing in your life should apply to so many other areas of your life. But specifically this morning, we're looking at how it applies to influence, right? As he increases, our influence increases. As he increases in our lives, our ability to influence others increases. And I know that's a long introduction, but I wanted to make sure that we understand, like I said, the foundational stuff of this. And so the first point is this. We all only get 100%. You only get 100%. You only get 16.9 ounces, for illustration's sake. And you know, it's just kind of, it's funny when we do things, that's not going to hold. When we think about things spiritually, sometimes I think we try to make it more than what it is. When it, a lot of times it's really simpler than what we try to make it. And ultimately, we all get 100%. And so kind of thinking about how God is in our lives, and you can't make more time, right? You're only given so much time. You're only given so much free time because every one of us has responsibilities and things that we have to do as humans, or we think we have to do, right? Like work, which I suppose we do. Like we each have responsibilities and things that we've got. So we're all allotted a certain capacity in life. And so what we need to do, our goal should be to increase the amount of our lives that God gets. You know, if for example, this is your life and it's 16.9 ounces and 7 ounces of that are devoted to work and 6 ounces of that are devoted to school or family or whatever else, then really you've only got 3.9. Did I do the math right? 3.4? There's no way. I said a whole number and you, anyway, don't listen, John. He's too smart. Whole numbers and decimals, man. Anyway, but you get the idea. You've only got so much. We all are given a certain amount of a capacity. And so our object, our goal should be to increase the amount of our lives that God gets. If it's 50-50, just for, you know, crude numbers, if your life, you know, is 50% spent on you and 50% is kind of centered around the things that you feel like God wants you to do and you becoming the person that God wants you to be, then maybe you should make a goal to get it to 60-40, right? Because we're all only given 100%. You can't make it, you can't go, okay, God, we're at 50-50 right now. And let me, there's a caveat. I'm not saying, obviously and ultimately, God should be in control of everything in your life. He's ultimately the Lord of your entire life. But we're talking about your time, kind of your fringe time, your priorities, the way you think, how much time you spend thinking about the things that you think. Some of us have paralysis by analysis, like we overthink things. Anybody you ever done that? And so that's what we're talking about specifically. And the time that we each have to kind of, you know, I think sometimes we talk about our hobbies and how much time we spend doing that. And then it's like when it comes to our relationship with God, it's like, oh, I'm too busy. Funny how that works, isn't it? Right? Just something to think about. So if you're at 50-50, your goal maybe should be to get it to 60-40. What could you do? What could you cut out in your life? Or how could you reprioritize your life so that God, the capacity that God gets, the amount of your life that God gets increases? It just, you can't do, we're at 50-50. Okay, God, I'm going to take you to 60, but leave me at 50. You don't get 110%. I mean, think about how stupid. Give it 110% effort. There's no such thing. Doesn't exist, right? We all get 100%. So if you're going to allow God to increase in your life, you must decrease. Like, that's just the way that it is. And it's okay. That's a good thing because I don't know if you know you as well as I know me. I hope you do. I think you should. But if you know you as well as I know me, it's a good thing that I'm decreasing and God's increasing, because I'm not that good. Like there's not a whole lot about me that's great that should increase. And so the more I decrease and the more God increases, everybody wins. Not just me, but everybody around me. Everybody benefits from God increasing in my life. My influence, because God is increasing and I'm decreasing, my influence increases. Do you see how it works? And so I think just taking some time and figuring out what this looks like for you, like how do we give God a greater amount of our capacity, a greater percentage of our capacity? I think it has to begin with honesty, right? Because this is what people do, and I've probably done it. We've all probably done it. We tell other people what our priorities are. We say, well, these things are important to me, and a lot of times we try to make ourselves look really good. So, you know, Jesus, Bible, pray, those things are all important, right? We say what's important, but our time and our schedule tells us what's really important. Like, it doesn't matter what we say is important. What matters is if you looked at your life honestly and you assessed your schedule honestly, what's really important in your life? right? And so it has to begin there. It has to begin with this kind of just an honest assessment and overview of your life and how you really prioritize things, like what really, really, really is important in your life, because what you say is really irrelevant, right? I heard a quote one time. I love quotes. You guys know that. When it's all said and done, a lot more is said than done. Anyway, just keep on going. And so once we've done that, once we've kind of taken this hard look at our lives, and this, none of this stuff is easy. Let me just be really upfront about all of that. None of this stuff is easy. It's not easy for you to decrease, because you know what you do? You do the same thing I do. We do the things that we like to do. And sometimes we have to give up pleasure for progress, and we have to give up, you know, things that we really, really enjoy for God to increase in our life, but we're better for it, and it's better for us down the road. And it makes sense when you kind of think of pleasure as very temporary, because it is. Like, I mean, when I stuff my face with cheesecake, I feel really good for about 30 seconds, and then after that, I'm like, oh, Lord, right? Pleasure, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Pleasure is temporary. Pleasure is, it's in the moment. You think about it now, but down the road, if you sacrifice pleasure for progress, everybody wins, including you. And so that's one of the things, the ways that we've got to look at this. It's not easy, but sacrificing pleasure and kind of the momentary advantages that you may get are better for us down the road. So once we take that look, that hard, honest look at our lives, we can get about the hard work of making the necessary changes, of God increasing and us decreasing. And what's really cool about this is that there's not a blanket approach. I mean, how many of you know that we're all at different places in our lives? Like, we all have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. We're at different stages. Some of us are married. Some of us are not. Some of us are in school. Some of us are in, you know, careers. Some of us are, you know, this, that, the other. We're all at different places. Some of us have been in church our entire lives and saved since they were born, like Shelley. And then the rest of us, we had struggles, man. We're sinners, and we're saved by grace, right? Like, you know, it's more of a work in progress for us. And so I think that's a cool thing. That's a great thing, because there's not just a blanket, okay, God must increase and you must decrease. I think for every one of us, it's a little bit different. Even, man, you get down to kind of more of the specifics. I think some people are really great at praying, but they don't read their Bible very well. Like, I've talked to people that, man, I try to read my Bible, but, you know, just it's not working for me. And it's usually because they start in the book of Revelation. Like, I've read this, please understand, this is not an you know, a bloat or a brag, but I've read through the Bible no less than 10 times, like cover to cover. And I still read the book of Revelation, and I'm like, wow. It just blows me away. So don't start in Revelation, man. Start in Matthew. Start really simple with Jesus. Like, don't read in Genesis, and don't go to Leviticus, because then you're going to be like, I'm done. I'm out cutting throats, goats, and cutting goats' throats, and, you know, crazy stuff. Just start in Matthew. Read the Gospels. Read, you know, the book of John is a phenomenal place to start. But we've got different strengths, and some of you guys are kind of gifted towards prayer, and prayer is very easy for you, but you're lacking and slacking when it comes to Bible reading, or flip-flop. I'm just the opposite. I love to read my Bible, but prayer is hard for me because I'm like, squirrel. Yes, Lord, you know? Like, it's so hard for me to stay focused, and this is what happens to me. When I'm praying, I'll think about anything and everything other than the one thing that I should be thinking about. Like, that's when I start thinking about washing my car. I could care less about washing my car, but all of a sudden, when it's time to pray, I can start thinking about washing my stupid car, right? And so, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yes, I am not alone. I'm not alone. It's so true. But that's what's great. It's awesome that God increasing in our lives and us decreasing is a little different for all of us. And that's, man, that's awesome. How boring would it be if we were all, you know, at the same place with the same struggles and going, it would just kind of be really dull. But life's not like that. And Christianity and following Jesus is not like that. We all have these ways that he can increase and we can decrease. For some of you, it's a matter of cutting and pasting. How many of you guys took, you know, word processing classes in school, and, you know, anything word processing or Microsoft related is awful, but if you use Pages, if you know what I'm talking about, it's much better. That's the Mac version of that. So cutting and pasting, you guys know what that is. You basically take a section or a paragraph or a few words or phrases, and you cut it, and then you can paste it somewhere else, or you can paste something else over it. And I think sometimes in our life, we need to cut and paste. We need to cut some things out and paste some other things in. And we're never we're never going to get to the point where we're legalistic and we're telling you what you need to do specifically and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and do this. That's not for me to do. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that we can say we probably all could have some areas in our life where maybe we're doing things that are negative. Maybe we're doing things that are harmful. Maybe we're doing things that we're not supposed to be doing or aren't beneficial to us that we could cut out and replace with things that are good for us, that do connect us and point us to our relationship with God. Or maybe we could take it a step further. Maybe we could just be extreme in this. Maybe you're doing things that aren't necessarily negative, but they're not positive either. You know what I mean? Like there are things that are kind of neutral, but if it's neutral, you're not going anywhere. Go out into the parking lot, put your vehicle in neutral and hammer it. Like put the pedal to the metal. You're not going anywhere. Like your engine is working like crazy. You're revving up the RPM, but you're not moving. You're not making progress. You're not going anywhere. Put something in your life that's positive, that's going forward, that's honoring to God, that helps you to think about God. Like we talked about so many times, what we input ultimately determines what we output. I love that Jesus just nailed this. He's like, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Like what's inside of you and what you allow to get on the inside of you is ultimately what comes out of you and is, you know, from the inside out, right? You guys, y'all are smart. Y'all get that. And so maybe we need to do some cutting and pasting in order for God to increase and for us to decrease. I love the way it says in Philippians 4. You guys, you've probably heard. These are one of those that like your grandma has in her bathroom on the wall. I've seen it. You've seen it too. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. It says, finally, brothers or sisters, right? I think that should apply. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see, that he doesn't say if anything is okay, if anything is average, if anything is fair to middling, if anything is just, you know, it's just okay for you and it's not going to kill you, then think about those things, right? He doesn't talk about the neutral transactions in life or necessarily the negative transactions in life. He talks about the positive things that we should focus on, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Cut some of the things out that maybe you enjoy that aren't really beneficial for you. Because like, that's the thing. Like sin is always pleasurable or we wouldn't do it, right? There's always a season of pleasure in sin, but then the consequences catch up to you. So cut those things out and replace them with things that are right and noble, pure, lovely, admirable, right? And then God, that's when we do that, this is what's really cool. When we do that, we decrease and God increases. In verse 9, this is what it says. And I love the way he does this because he's speaking kind of directly to his influence over this group of people. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. He's like, the way that you've seen me live my life and the influence that I've exhibited and, you know, the things that I've done, follow my lead. Let my influence kind of direct you to do these things. And then he wraps up with this, and the God of peace will be with you. As we do these things, we decrease. The God of peace will be with us. He increases in our life. He lays it out there really, really simply. He's like, if you focus on the things that matter, the amount of God in your life increases. It's really simple. If we focus on trivial things or negative things or things that bring us down or aren't getting us anywhere, these neutral transactions, there's no promise or guarantee that God will increase in your life. But if you do these things, if you focus on the right things, there's a promise that God will increase in our lives. And again, I just love the way that he kind of points out that this is influence. This is what I'm doing. This is the way that I'm living my life. And you should live your life like that. Follow my lead. Let me influence you. Do you see how he kind of does all that and sets it up for us? I think it's fitting, right? So that's a perfect setup and segue to our second point. We're trying not to do like, you know, point one, point two, but I don't know how else you do that because this is point two. And it's that more God equals more influence. And I know we've kind of alluded to this on several occasions, but this is where we'll really bring it home. More God equals more influence. The more you allow God to increase in your life, the more influence you'll have with other people. As we increase the amount of capacity that God gets, it will increase our ability to influence others. It's really simple, especially when you go all the way back to what we first talked about, how the foundation of this is understanding that God is the giver of all of the things that we have. He's the one that gives us the life that we have and the influence that we have. So as he increases, obviously it increases our influence. But we can't stop just on what's been done for us. Because how many of you know that most of how we respond to other people is a response or an understanding? It's kind of framed by our understanding of how God has responded to us, right? We forgive because we've been forgiven, and we understand that. That's the framework through which we see people and how we see people. We love because we've been loved. I love the way it says it's, we know what love is because Jesus laid down his life for us. Our ability to love and understand and comprehend love and give love is all framed by how we've been loved, right? And so I think understanding that kind of increases our influence, but we can't focus just on what the past is. We also need to focus on the now. We need to focus on our growth and progress now. As we personally grow in our relationship with Jesus, those around us are the direct beneficiaries of that. And I think this will be really simple to understand when you think about it like this. If God increases in your life, let's go according to Galatians chapter 5, like the things that God gives to us. If God is increasing in your life and you're decreasing, that means you have more patience, right? Don't pray for it. Just understand it. That's kind of one of the fringe benefits, right? If God is increasing in your life and you're decreasing, that means you have more kindness. If God is increasing in your life and you are decreasing, that means you have more faithfulness, you have more gentleness, you have more compassion, you have more love, you have more grace, you have more forgiveness, you have more meekness. Some of the things that we talked about, you've got more peace, you've got more loyalty. If God is increasing in your life and you're decreasing, we're adding all of these characteristics into our life to a greater degree. Don't you think that gives us influence? Who wouldn't want to be around somebody like that? Who wouldn't want to be around somebody who has this increasing amount of peace in their life? Who wouldn't want to be around somebody and allow them to have influence over their life who has this increasing amount of hope in their life or joy or patience? I love being around people that are like chipper a little bit and like not, there's like the border where you cross it and you're crazy. You know what I mean? And you can always tell crazy by the eyeballs. You guys know that, right? This is a free lesson. Just look into their eyes. And you can see crazy from a mile away. They usually look at you like this, like big eyes, right? That one didn't cost you guys a cent. Watch, you'll run into somebody this week that's got crazy eyes and you will know that I am right. And so as God increases in our life, it gives us more compassion, it gives us more kindness, it gives us more patience, it gives us more grace, it gives us more love. And as we have these aspects or components increasing in our life, it increases our influence because people want to be around people like that. And I think that, man, you can just take your life and look at how, I don't want to be around negative Nances, right? People that are just negative, 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 right? I don't want to be around people like that. I don't want to be around people that just tear other people down and whine all the time and bicker and moan and gripe and blah, just shut up. Right? I mean, that's how I feel. I would never tell them that. I just told all of you guys that. Right? We don't want to be around people like that. I know I don't, and I know that most of you don't. But if somebody's hopeful and joyful, and this doesn't mean that you're like, the Permagrand cheerleader or anything. It just means that you've got this internal hope and internal joy that kind of comes out of you, and you can be introverted and extroverted and still have joy. There's no difference in the two. I just thought that was important to clarify. But we want to be around people like that. And I open myself up to influence when I'm around people like that. There are a few guys that I talk to. In fact, I had lunch Friday with a group of guys that are leaders of organizations, and they're just great dudes. And I was just, man, I was soaking it in. I was just listening to what they had to say and how they were talking and what they were talking about. And it was so refreshing for me to be around people like that. They influenced me, but I never would have opened myself up to that influence if they were just like, man, everybody's stupid and the world sucks. Right? Like, I just never would have opened myself up to being influenced by them if they would have acted like that. People, if you're compassionate and you're kind and you're caring, they're interested. They're open to the idea of being influenced by you. They're open to the idea of listening to what it is that you have to say. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know, and I think that's where we have this disconnect. People have fantastic theology, but their love sucks, right? And I'm convinced that the bigger the brain, the smaller the heart. The more that we know about God, the less that we seem to do for God. And it's really sad and it's frustrating that there's this breakdown, because the more you know, the more you should do. Like, it should be a response to understanding the riches and the mercy and the treasures of God, right? But for whatever reason, that's not the case. So people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So as God is increasing in your life, your kindness, your caring, your compassion increases, they're at least going to be interested to know what it is. I love, there's this verse, and I'm not going to try to quote the citation or the place where it is, the reference, that's what it is, because I'll butcher it. But there's this verse, it says, be ready at all times to give a defense for the hope that's in you. Be ready to give a defense for the hope that's in you. And I think it just speaks to our ability to influence other people. You've got this hope that's beyond description. You've got this peace that passes all understanding. And people are probably going to ask you why. They're going to be influenced by your hope. They're going to be influenced by your peace. And so we should be ready to give a defense for the hope that's inside of us. And I think that speaks to influence, man. That speaks to people looking at your life and thinking, you're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, right? We're beyond that. But we all are on this journey, this pursuit to try to allow God to increase in our life and us to decrease. And people see that. Like, people see authenticity. They see the pursuit of your lives. And so as we do that, as we continue to pursue God, we continue to try to allow him to increase and us to decrease, people notice, and people are open to be influenced by people like that. And so what we've got to do is just get about the hard work. That's the easy part, right? The understanding that we need to increase, or he needs to increase, we need to decrease. The hard part is actually doing that. And so as we leave this morning, I just want you to, man, take some time this week, today, tomorrow, whatever it is, take some time this week and really look at your life. You know, I don't think there would be anything wrong with taking out a pen and a piece of paper and jotting down how much time you spend on trivial things. Right? Because I do. I mean, we all have things that we do that aren't necessarily that beneficial. The average American spends 8.6 hours a day at work or work-related events and 7 hours a day sleeping. So 15.6 are wiped out right off the block. So all we've got left are, what, 8.4 hours a day that we can use to increase or decrease. And so I think, you know, look at those hours that you spend every day and what you do with those hours. And I'm not saying that you can't ever have fun. You can't chill and watch Netflix, or you can't, like, I think there's a certain part of our life that should recreate, because to recreate is to recreate. Like, we re-energize, we recharge ourselves, but we've also got to spend time increasing God in our lives. So look at your life this week, see where you're at, see what you need to work on, how he can increase best in your life, maybe some cutting and pasting, right? Don't be afraid to make changes in your life, because ultimately, if God is increasing, you win, and all of those around you, they benefit and they win as well. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for this opportunity, God, that we have to come together every single week. God, just to spend some time worshiping you, talking about you, God, learning how we can best honor you with our lives. And specifically through this series, God, that you would help us to see how to influence others better, God, how to increase our capacity to influence, to allow more of you into our lives so that we can influence others to a greater degree. God, I pray that as we leave this place, God, we'll each take an honest assessment of our life. God, just look at our lives and see where we could do this a little bit better, the things that we could change, the things that we could decrease on ourselves so that you can increase, maybe the things that we could cut and paste so that you, God, would be glorified in our lives. God, that we would focus on things that are lovely, just, noble, pure, admirable, and praiseworthy. God, help us to focus on those things so that we can better honor you with our lives, and we can better influence other people and lead other people to live and move and have their being in you, Jesus. We love you, and it's in your awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen.